Two men in Geneva. One's name is Guillaume Farel. And the other's name is Jean Calvin. John, you have to stay here tonight. And not only tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, a year, you have to stay here in Geneva. I feel it's in God's providence that you had to be here and that I could meet with you. I don't know, Jean Calvin said. Why? I plan to be here only for a day. I'm actually on my way to Strasbourg to write. I like to be an author, to write about God. I'm actually busy writing the book of the Institutes. So I'm sorry, I can't do that. I feel the Lord is calling me to something else, to just write and write in Strasbourg. And I'm just on my way. It's a detour, but I will end up there in Strasbourg. Guillaume, that's the French word for William. That's the same word as Bill. William, Bill, Guillaume, all the same. Why is that? That names change. That's this kind of the whole study. But you know, Guillaume said, I feel something, Jean. I feel in my heart that's not right. You leave. You have to stay here for God's will, for God's glory. You are selfish. You don't want to sacrifice. I know you like to sit quiet in your study and write, huh? Instead of fight and be exposed to opinions and to preach the word and to visit the people. You don't want to sacrifice. You like retirement. And Jean was listening. He was a single man. He was studied. He was thinking. And he felt something in his heart. You know, Guillaume said, Jean, if you leave, God will punish you. God's imprecation will be upon you. God will curse you if you leave. You have to stay here. I feel it in my heart. And Jean was shaking. And he said, okay, I stay. So what's behind there? Who is that Farel? Who is Guillaume Farel? Who is John Calvin? Guillaume Farel was actually a minister in Bern, Switzerland as well. Geneva is in Switzerland and Bern also. And there was a Roman Catholic church in Bern, but also a Protestant church. And they were kind of teaching the doctrine of Martin Luther. Protestants. And some ministers had traveled from Bern to Geneva as missionaries. As missionaries in the Roman Catholic Church of Geneva. And they were preaching the word of God on the pulpit sometimes. Some of the priests didn't care. Some of those Roman Catholic leaders in the town of Geneva, they were not convinced themselves of the truth either. And they were ignorant, and they said, oh, if you would like to teach that in my church, it's fine. So they gave permission to the missionaries from Bern to preach the word of God. And so the whole town was slowly influenced, and the mayor and the council in town, they kind of took sides with the Protestants. So they had a few huge churches in town. 3,000 people were coming to church. And they had hardly any pastors to preach the word and to visit the people. So that's why Guillaume said, you have to stay, John, you have to stay here. You have to work here. Don't take it easy. Don't flee and just take your tranquility, he said. John Calvin wrote about this later. He wrote this: Farrell burned with an extraordinary zeal to advance the gospel. I immediately learned that my heart was set upon devoting myself to private studies, for which I wished to keep myself free from other pursuits. And finding that he gained nothing but entreaties, he proceeded to utter an imprecation that God would curse my retirement and the tranquility of the studies that I sought if I should withdraw and refuse to give assistance when the necessity was so urgent. By this imprecation, by this curse, I was so stricken with terror that I desired that I desisted from the journey which I had undertaken and stayed in Geneva. Who was this Calvin? Calvin was born July the 10th in 1509 in France, in a city called Noyon, N-O-Y-O-N, Noyon. And when he was born, Luther was 25 years old and preaching already. But he was just born. And as a boy of 40 years old, his father said, John, or Jean, I think you should study theology. You should study at the University of Paris and become a cardinal or something, or maybe even the Pope. You're smart. 40 years old, and he went to study theology about God and the church, the Roman Catholic Church. But till he had done so a couple of years, and his dad got mad. His dad got really angry with the church. He didn't like the church anymore. So such a corruption in the church, so dishonest. It was all about money, all about bribing, and all about just buying yourself into an office. He was so against the church. He said, you know, you had to quit. I don't want you to become a priest at all. So just come home and we'll find another university for you. He came home. At the time, he was 17 or so. So what now? He wanted him to study law, to become a judge. So he studied a couple of years to become a judge in the law of the land. But then in 1531, Calvin's father died. He had studied theology a couple of years. He had studied law a couple of years. His father died. What do you want to study, actually? If your dad has nothing to say anymore, he's dead. Actually, I like to study classics. Classics? What is that? I like to study Seneca and Cicero and Anselmus and the classic writers. I like to study Latin. Okay. Latin. So he studied Latin a couple of years. But also slowly began to study theology at a university in Paris. Was also quite a group of people fond of the doctrine of Luther. And he had a friend, we don't know much there. He had a friend, Nicholas Cop. And Nicholas Cop got into trouble. He had to flee the city because he had taught the people in university something about the doctrine of Luther. So he had to flee because the governor was after him. The police was coming to his door. And John Calvin thought, I better leave too. Because we think that he has actually written that discourse. He has written that lesson that Nicholas Karp was teaching. He was behind that. So he fled. So why? In that time at university, something happened. He changed. He was born again. He was not a child of God before. He became a child of God. What happened? We know little about it, but we know enough. He writes about himself. I'm going to read it to you, what he wrote about his change. Offended by the novelty, I lent an unwilling ear, and at first I confess, strenuously and passionately resisted. So they said, look at this, what Martin Luther is teaching. He said, no, that's new things. I don't like the new things. Offended by the novelty, I lent an unwilling ear. I didn't want even to listen to that. That new doctrine about grace only and the word of God only. The Protestant religion. No, that's not for me. I was offended by the novelty. I lent an unwilling ear, and at first I confess, strenuously and passionately resisted. Absolutely not. That's wrong. That's the wrong doctrine. Let us just be Roman Catholics and not teach that. No, I don't think about it. Nobody can convince me. I strenuously and passionately resisted to confess. I did not want to confess that I had all my life long been in ignorance and error. So all those years I have been wrong. All those years I was ignorant. So all those years were a waste of time. I can't believe that. I don't want to believe that. I resist that thought. I cannot confess that everything was wrong. His pride was in the way, right? But I, at length, perceived, as if light had broken in upon me, in what a sty of error I had wallowed, and how much pollution and impurity I had thereby contracted. So slowly it dawned on him. At length he perceived, as if light had broken in upon him. The light went on. It was so dark in his life, he didn't understand the word of God. And then the light was on, and he saw it so clearly. And how much pollution and impurity I had thereby contracted. I had been like a pig in the mud my whole life. I was in the sty, in the pigsty my whole life. I was wallowing from one side to the other side in the mud of theology, the wrong doctrine. What happened? The light went on. He writes, being exceedingly alarmed at the misery into which I had fallen, as in duty bound, I made it my first business to betake myself to thy way, O God, condemning my past life not without groans and tears. So, in other words, boys, girls, I see John Calvin, him crying. Tears. I've been wrong. All my life been wrong. Been deceived. I've been in the pigsty. I have the mud on my soul. He was crying, missing God. And he was exceedingly alarmed, he said, exceedingly alarmed at the misery into which I had fallen. What happened? He writes about it. God, by sudden conversion, subdued and brought my mind to a teachable frame. Having thus received some taste and knowledge of true godliness, I was immediately inflamed with an intense desire to make progress. So his conversion was sudden. He was studying the Word of God and the light went on. He said, "They're right. I was wrong. I was ignorant. I was in the pigsty. I had mud on my soul." He cries because of the power of God. And that's why. Now he was tasting and understanding something of the true godliness. I was immediately inflamed with intense desire to make progress, to find God. Can we relate to that? It does not need to be sudden, but do we know something of that light? To be subdued, to find out by the alarming voice of God that they are sinners, they are ignorant, they don't know the things we should know. How humbling. So that Calvin began to study the Bible. The Bible. You come back to that. So John Calvin stayed in Geneva and he preached. Sometimes 10 times a week. It was normal. 3-4 times on Sunday, on Saturday evening, on Friday, on Thursday, Wednesday. 10 times. 10 sermons a week. I can't believe it. He wrote many books. Also later on, many books. With a pen and ink. And to put his pen in the ink and write it. He wrote so many books. He wrote a whole commentary on the Bible. Except a few Bible books, not Revelation. He was traveling a lot, teaching a lot, doing Bible studies a lot. You know, people asked him, "What is your slogan? What's your life like?" And John Calvin said, "Terar dum prosim." Terar dum prosim. Let me be consumed. It's fine. As long as I am profitable. I would like to be profitable for God, for his glory, for his church, for his honor. Let me just be consumed. I'm willing to consume my life, to sacrifice my life. Calvin, what is your icon? What's your symbol? If you make a picture of something, what you like to say, what would you see? He said, "Well, my picture, my icon is a hand with a heart in there. See that? A hand with a heart. And giving a heart. And written underneath, promptly and sincerely." That was John Calvin. Giving his heart for God's cause. Promptly and sincerely. "Let me be consumed. I like to do this for God's glory." Now, what motivated him? Could you help me? What motivated him? What was the real thing John Calvin wanted to do? What was the focal point? If a circle of his theology, what is in the middle? What was John Calvin's purpose? What was the whole Reformation about? What changed those days? What's the heart of it? Just tell me. Boys, girls, old ones, appreciate your input. You can probably give many good answers. One answer is the specific right answer. Anyone? You don't want to be wrong, huh? What it is? Very simple. God. In the Roman Catholic Church, it was about the sacraments, about Mary, about the priest, about heaven, about so many things. And was not about God anymore. God was not real anymore. It was all about God and from God and related to God. But God himself was not there. And John Calvin, he met personally the God. He encountered him. He became true for him. We call that, with a difficult word, self-authentication. Authentic is something that's real, pure. You know, who tells me the Bible is true, boys, girls? Who told you that? How do you know the Bible is true? How did John Calvin know the Bible is true? Who told him? His parents? I'm not so sure. Someone else, Martin Luther, that's not what made the impression on him. We don't know. Therefore, illumined by the Spirit's power, we believe. Neither by our own nor by anyone else's judgment, that scripture is from God, but above human judgment, we affirm with utter certainty, just as if we were gazing upon the majesty of God himself, that has flowed to us from the very mouth of God by the ministry of men. Did he say? I simplified for the boys and girls. I was reading the Bible, and I just was so impressed with the content of it. Nobody told me. It's not so that I thought, well, I think that must be true. No. I just knew it. The Lord revealed himself, and the Bible became such a power of God unto salvation. God told me that the Bible is true. So John Calvin had impressions, deep impressions of God, who has no beginning and no ending and never changing. And never improving, never becoming, but God. The God we cannot negotiate with, the God we cannot bribe, the Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, the Sovereign One. So that's why I read Ecclesiastes 8. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. God, the Almighty One, I am that I am. That was the heart of Calvin's theology. As someone said about John Calvin, someone said about him, no man ever had a profounder sense of God than he. No man ever had a profounder sense of God than he. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, it was about all things, not about God anymore. So, do we hunger for God? We seek God. Are we reconciled with God, who has sent his only Son, God? But you know, you probably would like to know a few more things about John Calvin, about his family, his wife, his marriage. Okay, the first thing. I forgot to mention, if you have any questions regarding this topic, you can ask the questions after this meeting. But if you like to do it on your phone, you can do it as well. You can text me. And telephone number is 604-316. You know 316, right? So many are 316. So the only thing you need to remember is 0566. 604-316-0566. Just in case you have questions. What are love languages? Love languages. Sometimes people are married and they speak a different language, a different love language. You know, so for example, they're dating and he thinks, I buy a beautiful ring for her. I think she will like that, to give something special. And he gives the ring to her and she says, oh, thank you. But she is not really impressed. It's not a language. She doesn't care about gifts and rings and jewelry. She can't care less. So he needs to know what the language is to talk to her. She likes words of affirmation. Or she likes quality time. Or she likes touch. And many different languages to express your love and to feel it. So in case you're not dating yet, or in case you are listening with us tonight, what type of person would you like to marry? Make a list. I like my husband to be. I like my wife to be. And ask the Lord. Of course, the most important thing is that you may find someone to seek the Lord with. Right? To seek the Lord with. That's the most important thing. If you cannot seek the Lord with a person, don't marry the person. If you disagree on those most important things, don't even start. But John Calvin was not married. And John Calvin was almost 31. And I'm not married yet. And they asked him, John, what type of person would you like to marry? And he gave answer to that. I found a piece about that. He wrote that the only beauty that allured him was that she is chaste, not too nice, or fastidious, economical, patient, and likely to care of my health. So he didn't think she did not need to be had to be pretty. She did not have to have the most beautiful clothes all the time, and it was not about outward appearance for him. The only beauty that allured him was that she was chaste, faithful, not too nice and fastidious in all in fashion, everything so precise and picky and
critical, and this has to be this way and that way.
No, kind of easygoing, economical, patient. Oh, he said, I'd like to have a patient wife and someone to take care of my health. He was not so healthy, you know. John Calvin was not so healthy. Often bleeding. Often tired. Well, there was another couple in his congregation, Jean and Idelette Stordeur. Jean and Idelette Stordeur. They were actually Mennonites. But they had come to his church in Geneva. I was listening to Jean Calvin, and I became so convinced of the truth. We're friends. Jean and Idelette Stordeur. But there was a pandemic. There was a disease going around, the plague. And Jean Stordeur died in the spring of 1540, I believe. Yes, 1540. He died in the spring. And half a year later, that's quick, he married Idelette. So he welcomed Idelette as a young widow in his home, and she took one boy and one girl with her, two children with her. So now he's married and had two children, so suddenly. And she took care of him and helped him, was a good wife for him. And actually, she became pregnant. And the baby was born. Within 2 weeks or so, the baby died. She became pregnant again. And the baby died. She became pregnant again. And the baby died. Three babies dying. And Jean Calvin wrote about that. The Lord has certainly inflicted the severe and bitter wound in the death of our baby son. But he is himself a father. He is himself a father and knows best what is good for children. You could bow under that. Believing in the Father in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, he thought, God takes care of me as the Father. So whatever befalls on me, whatever happens to me, God is not doing anything wrong. He is still a Father. Nine years they are married. And Idelette died from tuberculosis. I have been bereaved of the best companion of my life, of one who, had it been so ordained, would have willingly shared not only my poverty, but even my death. During her life, she was the faithful helper of my ministry. From her, I never experienced the slightest hindrance. She was never troublesome to me throughout the whole course of her illness, but was more anxious about her children than about herself. He died. She died. And he was alone again and never married again. John Calvin. He wrote many things. And also started in 1559 a theological school in Geneva. And many young men came to the school to be taught theology, and also many people from abroad. And also Theodore Beza was a teacher there. And that University of Geneva was very important for the progress of the Reformation. Many ministers studied theology at that university, and they're used by the hand of God. John Calvin and his theology was characterized by God alone. When, lo, a very different form of doctrine started up, not one which led us away from the Christian profession, but one which brought us back to its fountain, to its original purity. That's Calvin. Not all the additional things in church, the images and the music and the sculptures and the incense and so many things. He said, just get rid of it. Out of the church. Go for simplicity in the church. No, nothing else but pews and people and the pulpit in the Bible. And sing the psalms and get rid of all the ballast. Back to its original purity. He truly believed that the Bible was the Word of God. The Holy Script, the Holy Spirit does not add revelation to what's in Scripture, but awakens from the dead to see and taste the divine reality of God in Scripture, which authenticates it as God's own word. So the Holy Spirit makes it alive and powerful, so you feel it. This is the word of the living God. One month before he died, May 27, 1564, he died. And one month before he died, he wrote that he never hated anyone. But I have always faithfully propounded what I esteemed to be for the glory of God. That was his purpose, the glory of God, the Almighty One. John Calvin died. He had a photographic memory, a very smart man. But it's not his smartness, not his industry, his zeal, but the Holy Spirit of God used him to see the truth and to see who God is in his holiness and to preach the only way of salvation by grace only in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he would not have had him, I don't know what would have happened. The Lord is an almighty God, of course, but he has richly blessed us with him. One which brought us back to its fountain, to its original purity, the Word of God. So far.